Anoint my lips, O Lord, that I may faithfully proclaim your word, that we may be shaped and molded into your image, that we would be true and faithful to you. This I beg through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Sarah and I just attended an annual diocesan clergy and wives retreat in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, February 3rd through 5th. That was the end of last week. In preparation for that retreat, we put out a list. So, at this case, not our children, but our child still remaining at home knows what to do when we leave and in our absence. So all our tasks will be covered. The list has become less detailed as our children have grown older. We don't need to make as many explanatory notes for each task. In fact, if we overload it, Maddie's saying, okay, skedaddle, would you? But the fact of the matter, we do want to be clear and thorough about what needs to be done while we're away. It all comes under that heading, last-minute instructions. Jesus, in the last couple of chapters that we have been going through in John's Gospel, gives the disciples more in-depth teaching because, quite frankly, it's last-minute instructions. Because at this point, we're at Holy Week, as we call it, and in this chapter, it's the night before Jesus' death. Our Lord Jesus, in his wisdom and mercy, is giving last-minute teaching and instruction to his disciples in order to prepare them for their work as apostles in lieu of his departure. And so my first point is that Jesus teaches about the Holy Spirit. Jesus teaches the relationship of the Holy Spirit with the world and then in the lives of faithful Christians. John 16, 7 through 11 says this, "But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged." Jesus speaks of the Holy Spirit convicting the world of these three things: sin, righteousness, and judgment. The Holy Spirit will convict or prove wrong the world concerning sin. And the ultimate sin is that of denying that Jesus is the Christ. The Holy Spirit also convicts the world of righteousness because it fails to accept this gift of righteousness, which only comes through trusting in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And this last aspect of the Holy Spirit's work of convicting the world is that of judgment. All who reject Jesus as Messiah will receive the penalty of God's judgment, the same penalty that the ruler of this world, Satan, receives. These words of Jesus in John's Gospel about the Holy Spirit convicting the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment must be taken in hand with sobriety. Thankfully, not all those who have a worldly frame of mind remain in this worldly frame of mind, but instead hear this warning to repent, to turn from our sin, to turn away from self-centered pride and embrace God's gift of righteousness in the Lord Jesus and thus escape God's judgment on sin, death, and the devil. But Jesus also says the Holy Spirit will guide his people into all truth. John 16, 13, and 14 says this, "And when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you." When Jesus speaks of the Holy Spirit guiding the apostles into all truth, he's not speaking of all truth in every branch of study and knowledge. Instead, he's speaking of all truth as given to us in the life and ministry of Jesus. It is the Holy Spirit bringing back to the apostles' remembrance the words and meaning of Christ's teaching, which the Lord Jesus had already spoken of in John 14, 26. And here in John 16, 13, and 14, the Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, will guide you into all the truth of the gospel of Christ, which glorifies Christ, which reveals him as the divine Son of God and our Lord and Savior. By taking Christ's teaching about himself and his saving work and disclosing it to the apostles, the Holy Spirit will take Christ's words and works and bring greater clarity to Christ's teaching. And just as the Lord Jesus fully taught all that the Father had given him, the Holy Spirit will bring to their remembrance all that Christ taught. And so throughout this passage, every member of the Holy Trinity reflects on each other. The Holy Spirit is sent from the Father through Jesus, and he reveals all that Jesus had spoken. Jesus had said everything that the Father had sent him to say and to do. And so we see the work of the Holy Trinity reflected so that everything we need to know about Jesus Christ and our need to serve him is given to us in the writings of the New Testament, which is all the truth given to us in Jesus Christ. So Jesus tells us and teaches us about the Holy Spirit. Second point is that Jesus foretells his death and resurrection. Jesus says in John 16, 16, "A little while, and you will no longer see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me." Jesus is referring to his death in this passage and also his resurrection. And while Jesus knew exactly what he was talking about, it's obvious his disciples are foggy about his statement. And Jesus goes further on to explain in John 16, 20 and 22, "Truly, truly, I say to you, that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will be turned into joy. Therefore, you too have grief now, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you." Our Lord Jesus Christ is referring to the apostles' agonizing experience as they watch Jesus die or hear of him die. It will be a time of great lamentation, weeping, and grief. And even though the apostles won't get his statement of grief and joy, they will get it later. The light bulb will shine brightly in their hearts and minds once Christ's glorious resurrection happens. Once that happens and they see Jesus, it will all come together and they will understand the Lord's words and they will truly have joy then. But for now, as they sit here on that Thursday night, they don't have a clue what he's talking about. Earlier in John's gospel, they thought he was talking about going to some other part of the world and the dispersion and then coming back. And so they don't get it. But our Lord in his wisdom teaches them about the grief of his death and then the joy of his resurrection. And he knows in the short range they are confused and they will be weighed down by his death. But once he is raised on Easter Sunday and subsequently appears to them on a number of occasions over the next 40 days, they will experience joy as a gift from God. This joy no one will be able to take away from them, because they know the reality that Jesus Christ has risen, never to die again. Christ rose from the dead victorious over sin and death, and by trampling death, he also bestows life to those who trust in him. Following Christ's resurrection and ascension, there were attempts to deny the reality of Christ's resurrection by putting forward alternative explanations to why that tomb was empty, such as the Jewish opponents of Jesus spreading the lie that the disciples had stolen the body of Jesus. But these false representations of what happened on Easter Sunday would not divert or change the mind of the apostles, because they knew what they saw. As John himself testified in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, what was from the beginning, what we heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our own hands concerning the word of life, and the life was manifested, and we have seen and testified and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. While followers of Christ know that they will face sufferings in this life, Jesus himself told us that these difficulties will come. But we stand in harmony with our Lord's message that evil, sin, and injustice does not have the last word. Christ is risen, and because of his resurrection, we can have joy. Christ overcame sin and death by his death, life, and his resurrection. As the psalmist affirms in our Psalter responsive reading in Psalm 30, verse 5, for his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. And so we recognize the reality that weeping lasts for the night. It may be a long night, but eventually dawn comes, light comes, and then joy comes in the morning. The disciples were downtrodden on Good Friday. They were downcast and confusingly stunned by our Lord's death. It may be Friday, but Sunday's a-coming. As the Apostle Paul himself affirms, as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write in Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. The Lord Jesus, toward the end of this passage, in illustrating this cycle of sorrow and then grief, gives the analogy of a woman giving birth to a child through the pain of delivery, but once the child is born, there is joy. I well remember Bria's birth, and after Sarah gave birth to Bria, I was utterly stunned that Sarah wanted to have more children. Why would she want to go through that ordeal again? And the word ordeal hardly does justice to what happened in delivery. And with trepidation, I consented, sure, we can have more children. But I always thought if all men were like me, this population would have been extinct a long time ago. But Jesus completes the analogy of a woman given birth to childbirth, and yet joy comes then, and she forgets about her pain. Jesus says in John 16:22, therefore you too have grief now, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you. They will know the sting of Jesus' death as if it was the pain of childbirth. And while the apostles were punched drunk and reeling from Christ's death, they did not remain in that situation because of what actually happened. God the Father raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus raised himself from the dead, and the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead. Each person of the Trinity was active in our Lord's resurrection. And that's precisely why, even though the apostles grieved, their grief didn't remain forever, because Christ rose from the dead. So in John 16, we have heard of how the Holy Spirit bears witness to the truth of Jesus Christ as our risen Lord and Savior. Christ, the divine Son of God, bore witness to the Father and the mission that God the Father had given him, which was the saving, redemptive work that Christ accomplished by his life, his death, and his resurrection. And just as the apostles did not understand Christ's words to them, even so, we don't always understand the meaning of the apostolic message written down in the writings of the New Testament. While we may be foggy about what they meant in certain passages and writings, we must trust and lean upon the work of Christ for us and the work of Christ in us. And ultimately, the love of God, the Father, for his people. May we trust in him, look to him, and hope in him. Weeping may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning because our Lord has been risen for us, and in him we have the hope of resurrection life. Let us pray. O Christ, you are the King of glory, the Lord of hosts, uplifted in triumph far above the heavens. Strengthen us with the comfort and consolation of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, whom you promised to send from God the Father. Help us to rejoice in the free gift of your salvation, which you purchased for us by your holy life, your saving death, and your glorious resurrection. This we humbly beg in your holy name. Amen.